Light travels over the curved, silhouetted lines of a stylized apple and leaf. Apple Original Films. Apple Original Films presents a Concordia Studio production. Daytime. A sprawling pink mansion stands tall, with palm trees lining a long road to its entrance.
Florida, 1990.
A film by Davis Guggenheim. In a bedroom, sunlight illuminates a figure sleeping in a bed. Clothes are scattered on the floor next to the bed. A young Michael J. Fox stirs with the sunlight in his eyes.
I woke up with a ferocious hangover.
Through a haze, he looks around the room, then turns to the ceiling.
I place my left hand across the bridge of my nose to block the sunlight.
Raising a hand, he blocks the sunlight.
A moth's wing fluttered against my right cheek. I put my hand in front of my face so I could finger flick the little beastie across the room.
His pinky finger trembles.
That's when I notice my pinky.
As he watches his quivering pinky, he blinks and raises his hand.
Auto-animated.
Clasping his pinky finger with his other hand, he stops it from trembling. He slowly removes his hand, and his pinky trembles again. He jolts to the edge of the bed.
For Christ's sake, it's just your freaking finger. But it wasn't mine. Shit. It was somebody else's. Had I hit my head? The tape of the previous night's events was grainy at best. Woody Harrelson was in the bar the night before. Maybe we'd had one of our legendary drunken fights.
Various clips from old movies show Michael and Woody Harrelson fighting.
But I couldn't recall any such melee. I did recall how my bodyguard had to prop me up against the doorframe while he fumbled the key into the door of my suite. But I didn't feel any bumps. Fuck.
I can't.
Old footage shows Michael on the red carpet.
Here is as hot as you get in the history of this business.
And the winner is Michael J. Fox.
Rolling.
In the face of all evidence to the contrary.
Very, very still.
I was in an acid bath of fear and professional insecurity.
A younger Michael exits a room and runs through hallways. Now, sitting on his bed, he stares at his hand.
The trembling was a message.
He watches his pinky, then hides under the covers.
From the future.
Removing the covers, an older Michael tries to sit up with his knees bent. His back hunched, he sits up on the edge of the bed and grabs a medicine cup with pills in it from a bedside table. He swallows the pills, throws the cup on the bedside table, then looks around. Later, sitting in a chair, he eases his foot into a loafer. He rises, then totters away. In front of a sink, his hands shake as he holds toothpaste and a toothbrush. He opens the lid of the paste and squeezes some onto the toothbrush as it shakes intensely in his hand. Facing a mirror, he stares at his reflection.
Everyone talks now about owning their narrative. So the sad sack story is Michael J. Fox gets this debilitating disease and it crushes him.
Moving his hand across his face, Michael spins in his chair.
Yeah, that's boring.
A woman adjusts Michael's disheveled hair.
My hair went curly like at 49. It never was curly. And all of a sudden, I woke up one morning in Santa Barbara and my hair was curly.
And it's really good luck.
I put some jam in it.
No.
I put a hat on. This is carrying too much what I look like for a documentary.
Yeah, it's real.
He fiddles with his hair, messing it up.
Now look at me. There you go.
Come in.
Uh-oh.
Well, guys, at a certain point, it's just
right here.
Is what it is.
Hey. Later, he fist bumps a tall man.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Watch me.
Followed by the tall man, Michael limps down a couple of steps.
How's your day going so far?
So far, it's successful.
Everyone knows you have Parkinson's. When they see you walking, they're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Good. Stop and reset. Good. Here we go.
The walking thing really freaks people out. Oh, look.
They walk down a street.
But won't hide it from you?
Hey.
And you can do it what you will. If you pity me, it's never going to get to me. I'm not pathetic. I got shit going on.
Hey, how you doing?
They pass a woman and a dog.
Take your time.
I'm a tough son of a bitch. I'm a cockroach, and I've been through a lot of stuff.
You can't kill a cockroach.
Nice and slowly. There you go. Beautiful.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Stop and reset.
Here's the box.
Looking over his shoulder, Michael trips and falls. The tall man helps him up.
That happened.
Got it?
All right, yeah, okay. Maybe.
A woman turns to check on him.
Okay. Nice to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you. You're not going to have my feet.
Cut to black. A title appears. Still. Sitting for an interview, Michael stares at the camera.
Before Parkinson's, what did it mean to be still?
No one know.
He grins.
I wouldn't know. I was never still.
A child runs around a house where a woman sits on a couch and a boy rests in a chair. Sitting on the floor, a girl holds a game. At a desk, a stout man uses a mechanical calculator.
I can't pretend to remember my 2-year-old state of mind. Knee-high, weighing little more than a wet beach towel, and slippery quick. But it's likely that my motive in wandering out the back door was not to escape. More likely, I failed to recognize boundaries. When the phone rang a few minutes later, the proprietor of the candy store tried to contain his amusement. "Is that your son here?" I can easily picture my mother, in utter disbelief that I'd bolted. "Let him have a candy or something. My husband will be right there to pick him up and pay for it." "Oh, he's got money."
A little hand holds Canadian dollars.
"He's got quite a bit of money, as a matter of fact."
The child grabs a chocolate bar and runs out of the candy store.
As a kid, I lacked the faith required to be still. It is one of the great ironies of my life. I couldn't be still until I could literally...
He runs past trees.
No longer keep still.
As the stout man takes a picture, the camera's flash goes off. A picture shows Michael in a bow tie. Another shows him and his sister wearing swimsuits in a backyard.
When my baby sister arrived, I wasn't jealous. And what the hell, the more the merrier. But by the time I was 6 and she was 3, we were the same size. I have a specific memory of being asked if we were twins. But once told that my twin was actually 3 years younger, people's reactions changed. I realized that I was expected to be bigger. This was a new one on me. I couldn't do bigger.
I was the shortest guy in my class, shorter than any people I played hockey with. I was the guy who would climb down in the grate and get the ball.
A picture shows Michael at age 11.
But I was supposed to get my ass kicked. I was a little guy.
A picture shows Michael at age 12.
I had stuffed in lockers.
A picture of Michael at age 16 appears.
The big guys are purposely coming after you and then fucking hammering you.
But I'd always relied on my ability to run from any potential bully. Just when the earth seemed to be sliding out from beneath me, I stumbled onto a foothold.
In a picture, 4 girls carry Michael as he lies on his side.
Drama class.
Several girls smile.
That's where the girls were.
They tower over Michael.
And it was Rumpelstiltskin in a play.
You were Rumpelstiltskin?
I was Rumpelstiltskin, yeah.
A picture shows Michael with his class.
You also looked 5 years younger.
Yeah, I was just a little elf. I was cute and an elf. And I was cute elf.
Cute elf? In drama class, you can be big.
I thought you'd be anything.
A hand uses a calculator.
But my head was up my ass, if you ask my father. Dad was a pragmatist, determined to protect his family from romantic fantasy. He'd had dreams as a young boy, but they'd been effectively knocked out of him.
He had a certain amount of rage. You'd see his lip curl, and you knew you were in trouble. You'd go, shit. I'm fucked now.
A report shows Michael's grades.
I'm called from the principal's office. Meant a harsh reprimand from Dad.
And he'd say, God damn it. God damn it.
I began to spend more of my time smoking and drinking. And I became a serial fender bender.
Pictures show damaged cars.
Inflicting damage to my dad's cars.
A picture shows Michael grimacing.
So in his mind, you're a fuck-up.
Yeah, a potential fuck-up.
A clip shows teenage Michael entering a bedroom.
Hey, looking good.
These shoes are terrific. Now I got a fighting chance.
When I was 16, my acting teacher thrust a newspaper into my hands. They're looking for a bright 12-year-old kid. Hell, you'd be the brightest 12-year-old kid they're ever going to meet.
But I'm going to blow it, Leo. All those people looking at me.
We're ready for you in makeup.
You're going to make history, kid.
Got to grow an inch by Friday.
I got the part. It was that easy.
Basketball tryouts?
No, Penny Montgomery. If I stand real close, I can't see your face.
The casting director believed I held an advantage. American producers would be eager to hire an actor who looked young enough to play a kid. But that meant moving to Hollywood and dropping out of high school.
Young Michael frowns.
And that seemed inconceivable. Dad, are you sure this is what you want to do? Me? Absolutely. You're that confident? Absolutely.
A car drives along a highway surrounded by trees.
And then Dad shocked me. Well, if you're gonna be a lumberjack, you might as well go to the goddamn forest.
The car speeds toward Green Mountains.
So secretly, he believed in you.
Yeah.
In a reenactment, as Michael drives the car, he adjusts the rearview mirror.
Dad agreed to underwrite the adventure, putting the whole trip on his Visa card.
Sleeping in the back seat, the stout man, Michael's dad, shifts onto his side. An aerial view shows the car zipping down the highway as tall trees cast shadows on the road. The sun shines down on the Hollywood sign as it stands tall. In a city, various billboards stand on either side of a street. With his legs resting on the car's dashboard, young Michael shares a sandwich with his dad.
I remember thinking just how far Dad and I had come over the past few weeks.
They arrive at the Paramount Pictures studio.
He advised me that he'd just drive to the appointments and debrief me after each one. His way of signaling to me that this was my show, not his.
Old footage shows young Michael sitting at a desk reading a book. He gets up.
Hello?
He stares pensively.
No, that's perfect.
Michael and his dad embrace.
Every audition earned a callback, and three of the callbacks produced solid offers.
Michael watches his dad drive away.
You've got the world by the tail, Dad said. Just hold on.
In front of a two-story apartment building, Michael carries a director's chair up the stairs.
My studio apartment was in the slums of Beverly Hills.
On an old TV screen.
This is the prettiest house I ever seen in my life.
Well, I was just thinking I'm glad you came home with me.
Inside the apartment, clothes litter the floor.
The apartment was 17 by 12 feet. One mattress, one hot plate, with a microscopic bathroom. And the domicile's one and only sink.
Dirty plates fill a bathroom sink.
I wash my hair with palm olive and my dishes with Head and Shoulders.
He starts the shower and washes a dish under it on the TV screen.
I really had a great time tonight.
Eating fries, he sits in front of the TV.
I enlisted Ronald McDonald as my exclusive nutritionist.
Words appear on the screen. Nobody can do it like McDonald's can.
We alone? Alone? I mean, is your husband lurking about? But by the spring of 1982...
Schweitzer!
The scenario was grim.
What's going on here? What is this?
Please relax, Mr. White. I'm going to examine your chest.
Hey, is this a joke or something?
Hi.
I continued to pick up acting jobs, but they barely earned me enough to live on. My agent took 10% of my paycheck.
Your paycheck.
And then there was the photographer, publicist, or lawyer.
It says $1.25.
Yeah, so?
I tell you, it's wrong. It's a mistake. I worked hard for this. It's not fair. I worked too hard for this.
I began to liquidate. I've sold off my sectional sofa, section by section.
Various items inside his apartment vanish.
I came close on a couple of movies, most notably Ordinary People. But Robert Redford seemed less than impressed by my reading. He spent the audition flossing his teeth.
A man flosses his teeth.
Why did they have to come here in the first place?
The rejection can be so matter-of-fact that there's a danger you'll get numb by it.
Don't listen to those that don't know what they're talking about.
I was down to days.
In the present.
So, you're running out of money. That's all. I was running out is
generous. I had no money. I was taking jam packets from IHOPs.
What's that?
Like Smuckers, to eat.
Come on.
And I was finding quarters and nickels and dimes, and I'd use that to get to the next moment. I was living beat to beat. I said, I got to get out of here. I have no money, and I owe the IRS money, and I'm ducking the landlord, and I got no phone. I'm going to have to walk to the airport.
What was the expectation?
My expectation was my brother was a construction superintendent, and I'd be working on his sites picking up nails.
Young Michael puts nickels and dimes in a fare box on a bus.
But I still had a chip in a chair.
A what?
Playing poker? Yeah, unless you had a chip left, you had a chair to sit in. You're in the game. You had a chip in a chair.
Holding a script, young Michael sits down in the now moving bus.
This was it. This is my last shot.
Outside a station holding bags, he stands and stares at a sign that reads, Paramount Pictures Corporation. Inside at a table read.
You gotta stop hawking me about this kid. Producer Gary David Goldberg told the casting director of his new sitcom.
We don't want to get into an area where bringing someone on is not funny, you know, and there's not any comedy there.
There's no way I'm gonna change my mind on this. He's just not our guy.
I think we all feel that Alex is a super competent, you know, editor of the paper, but sympathetic underneath.
I know what I want, and I'm telling you, I don't want Michael Fox playing Alex Keaton.
At an audition.
No. I want this job. I need it. I can do it. Everywhere I've been, there's always been something wrong. Too young, too old, too short, too tall. Whatever the exception is, I can fix it. I can be older. I can be taller. I can be anything.
Gary David nods.
Okay. Here we go. Ready? In five.
Five, four, three, two.
Gary watches.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. My script just went to pieces. Where is it?
Shit.
This is his first day as a kindergarten, Mom. He doesn't want to be late. This could affect his entire life. Mal's right. After all, this is my alma mater. I am a legend there.
And they laughed. And I just went, it was just like...
He squints.
A wash of like, wow.
I got one, too.
There's no drink, there's no drug, there's no woman, there's no nothing that could touch that moment for me as a 22-year-old guy who'd been fighting for 3 years to make it.
Ah, good.
Laughter is, you can't help it. I just found something, a way to communicate with you that you didn't expect. You have no answer for it except to make a noise.
Kidding me? Come
You just have to let air out. It's really honest.
Gary David Goldberg leaned back in his chair and said, why didn't anybody tell me about this kid?
Gary nods.
Great.
I was standing at a payphone outside of a Pioneer Chicken franchise while my agent was talking about a 7-figure salary. I stared at the menu, wishing I had $1.99 to buy the buffalo wings. The contractor could not be officially locked in, however, because the NBC executive Wunderkind head of programming, Brandon Tartikoff, was absolutely against giving me the role of Alex Keaton.
This guy is very proficient and he hits the comedy, but I don't think we're talking about somebody who's going to be on a lunchbox.
It would be a relatively simple matter for me to be fired and replaced. The argument raged on right up to the day we began shooting the pilot.
Michael stares at suited men. Several cars park outside the set of Family Ties. Inside, an audience sits as they get ready to shoot.
Well, welcome to Family Ties, everybody. So Andy, we ready to go?
Whatever happened in the next hour was going to decide my fate.
You guys will bring down the house lights.
Michael's nameplate hangs on a door. Various sections of the audience sit patiently as they wait for the show to start. Stepping out of his dressing room, Michael walks and bumps into a folding chair. He continues walking.
Start your VTRs, please. Start your machine. Okay, Paul, you got the first shot.
Have a good show, everyone.
3, 2.
Here we go. Ready and action. Go.
79. Hello? Can you tell him who's calling?
Kimberly Blanton.
Kimberly.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kimberly.
From the moment I ad-libbed the initial P, Alex P. Keaton here.
On the show, he grabs the phone and steps forward. The audience claps.
I felt as though the audience was aware of my desperate days leading up to that moment.
Hi. Sorry I had to answer the door myself. Our butler's off tonight.
If Kimberly doesn't like your family for who they are, then maybe she isn't worth caring about at all, don't you think?
Are you going to wear your hair like that, or are you going to put it out?
Gary smiles. Producers watch Michael on multiple TV screens. Backstage wearing a suit, Michael hurries inside, slicking his hair back as he enters another backstage area.
I just knew that moment. Like, it was all going to come true.
Mom, what are you doing?
The situation comedy was supposed to focus on the parents.
No bananas, Mom.
Instead, America fell in love with their son.
Play towards Michael, that'll help her. Have you ever known to play towards Michael?
Yeah, okay, he'll be fine.
His performance is so good. Watching him, you are struck by his exquisite sense of timing.
I find a sense of humor in a man to be incredibly sexually exciting.
A priest and a rabbi are in a robot.
When did you discover that you liked to make people laugh?
Growing up, I was a small kid. It was either, you know, funny or fight. So the idea is always if you can make the big guy laugh before you can make a man of you, it's a safer way to go.
Alex, come on, admit it. You're really special.
All right. I don't want to get in an argument about this.
With Brandon.
Mr. Fox sent me this lunchbox, affectionately signed, Brandon, love and kisses, Michael J. Fox.
He holds a lunchbox with Michael's face and autograph on it. Wearing a tuxedo, Michael walks through a confetti entrance as people clap and cheer for him from either side, forming a pathway. They pat him on the back and on his head as he passes. Wearing tuxedos and dresses, they push him on towards the end of the line. Now with Michael.
When I'm with you, I can see in your eyes that you've got a great one-liner, and then it's hard to get that to your mouth.
It just sucks. It's really hard. When I'm really in need of dopamine, and at the end of a dose, getting close to that now, I get frozen, frozen physically and frozen facially. It's a mask. I have a Parkinsonian mask. I have to really work to struggle to smile, to show expression. It gives me a kind of a blank countenance.
If you're having pure exhilaration, what would your face look like?
Look at this.
Frowning, Michael stares off and parts his lips.
This is what you did for a living.
Yeah.
Sitting across from a blonde woman, with his mouth wide open, Michael warms up his jaw. A tablet and a microphone sit on the table in front of him.
And stop. Okay? Feel warmed up? Is it making you lightheaded?
it made me crazy.
Okay. We're going to do some pages from your book.
Okay. After my dad retired from the Army...
A little straighter.
She gestures and straightens her back.
Why do you want to tell this story right now?
Shaking his head, he rests his chin on his hand and stares off.
As a kid,
Many things seem to come easily to me. I read a big picture book, cover to cover.
My world is getting smaller. I love my mind, and I love the place it takes me, and I just don't want that to get cut short.
As a kid, many things seem to come easily to me.
Is there going to be a moment, maybe it's 20 years from now, where you can't tell your story?
Well, if I'm here 20 years from now, I'll either be cured or like a...
He looks down.
Pickle.
Michael reads.
I had to eat my lunch through a straw.
A bearded figure sips a drink through a straw.
With several layers of form-fitted rubber foam studded with yak hair affixed to my face. That's really like...
Who wrote this stuff?
Because I'm an asshole.
A man uses a hairdryer.
It was a low-budget B-movie.
On a set, a man adjusts a boom mic.
But down the street were professionals.
Old footage shows people walking past shops on a street.
What are those guys doing?
They're with the new Zemeckis and Spielberg movie.
Who's in it? Crispin Glover. Ouch. Stung a little bit that Crazy Crispin was gonna do a Spielberg movie. Why?
A Polaroid shows Michael in a werewolf costume.
All the way in some B-grade high school werewolf movie.
Later, two men drive a cart past a door with a sign that reads, Family Ties.
A day or two after our Christmas break, Gary David Goldberg had summoned me into his office.
Adjusting his tie, Michael pauses and steps into an office.
I have a confession to make, Gary began. Just before the start of the season, Stephen sent me a copy of this script.
Michael sits.
Whenever Gary said Stephen, I knew he meant Spielberg.
Gary sets a script and an envelope on the table.
Stephen wanted you for the lead role. They came to me asking if there was any way I could let you out of the show.
Michael picks up the script.
I didn't mention it to you then because it was just impossible.
Reading, he flips a paper and raises his eyebrows. The script includes the words interior, garage, day, close on, ticking clock, and reveal more clocks.
They started shooting a couple of months ago with Eric Stoltz, but they don't think he's the right fit for the role.
Other words read, Nike shoes, skateboard dropped, and onto the floor.
It's going to be expensive, but they want to reshoot all of his stuff. My head was spinning.
Michael stares ahead.
Anything else?
You're not going to miss an hour of work on the show.
Running down the two-story apartment building stairs, he drinks his coffee as a car pulls up.
The deal was made.
He gets in, and a man starts the car.
A Teamster driver would pick me up at 9:30 a.m. and take me to Paramount, where I would spend the day shooting Family Ties.
Hi, how you doing?
You think you can handle both jobs?
That's for me.
Michael sits in the back seat.
Then at 6, another Teamster driver would pick me up and shuttle me to whatever far-flung location we were based at that evening.
The car pulls up and Michael gets out. He walks onto a set. Crew members help him into a plaid shirt, suspenders, and a red vest. He grabs a camcorder and enters the scene.
Action! Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine?
He stands with a white-haired man.
Out of a DeLorean?
I would work on the film until just before sunrise.
He looks at his watch. The car door closes and the driver starts the car.
At that point, I'd climb into the back of a production van with a pillow and a blanket. And yet another Teamster driver would take me home again.
Young Michael sleeps in a bed.
I'd catch 2 or 3 hours of sleep. Before Teamster driver number one would reappear at my apartment, let himself in with a key I'd provided, brew a pot of coffee, turn on the shower.
Yawning, Michael adjusts his suspenders.
And then start the whole process all over again.
The driver starts the car. Drinking coffee, Michael sits in the back seat. On set, he wears a blazer.
Oh, hello, hello.
Alex, you're an hour late.
So, how's your new job, Alex?
Oh, it's great. It's really great. Oh, that's my ride. I gotta be in early today.
Lying down in the back seat, Michael reads a script. As he walks on set, he buttons up a shirt and grabs a wooden skateboard.
Access!
On a sidewalk, four guys chase Michael as he skates away. He lifts the front of the skateboard and hangs on to the trunk of a passing truck, swiftly changing directions.
Okay, guys and dolls.
For the next 3.5 months, the combination of Back to the Future and Family Ties swallowed me whole.
Take 22.
I experienced confusion as to what set I was on.
Michael rubs his face.
And basically who I was in the first place.
You've worked every afternoon and evening for the past 2 weeks.
In the backseat of the car, Michael rests his head back. Later, he wakes up in bed. He slides on a car's hood. A man carries him up the stairs and tosses him onto a bed. Michael jolts awake and looks around.
How could any of this shit be any good?
In the present, Michael sits down, turns, and looks ahead.
How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Tired.
A woman touches up his makeup.
What happened here?
I smashed my head.
Michael's body shakes.
I was walking really fast, and I fell into this piece of furniture. I didn't hit the furniture the way I usually do, and I hit it with my face. And for a second, I was lying on the ground, and I said, I think I fucked myself. And then I started to bruise. And my eyes went black. The side went really black. And then they did x-rays, and they said that you broke all the bones in your cheek and your eye. And they did surgery and went in and fixed it and put pins in. I had pins in here.
Pins in there?
Yeah. So I smashed my face up, but I do that. It's part of the deal is that I fall. It's a real deal.
Parkinson's and gravity are real.
Yeah, gravity is real. Even if you're only falling from my height. Okay, we're back to business. The story of me, take two.
A beer bottle, a bottle of wine, a slice of pizza, and a dirty plate lie on a patterned carpet near a bed. A house phone lies next to them.
Ah, Jesus, my head. Where the hell am I?
From the bed, Michael reaches for the phone and grabs the pizza slice. He drops it, then answers.
Hello.
Mike, we just saw the movie.
What movie?
Your movie, Back to the Future.
He turns on a TV.
The person calling me was my agent. I'm sorry, Pete. I know I suck. If this was the beginning of the end, it had been a hell of a ride.
I'm Roger Ebert, film critic of the Chicago Sun-Times.
And I'm Gene Siskel, film critic of the Chicago Tribune. First, Back to the Future, a time travel movie, a category I hate because you're never really going to change things when they go back in the past, because that would mean that the future that we saw at the beginning of the film would have had to have been a lie, right? But Back to the Future managed to beat that problem, and it delighted me in so doing. This is my favorite film of the summer movie season. And Michael J. Fox gives an absolutely winning performance.
The ride, it turned out, was only beginning.
A hand flips on switches. A voltmeter reaches maximum power. Young Michael grabs a newspaper from a trash bin and reads the top 10 movies at the box office, finding Back to the Future at the top.
How are you dealing with the early word on this movie? The early word is spectacular.
It's scary. Yeah, it's really scary.
On a red carpet, reporters surround young Michael.
Will you be the same guy?
Yeah.
Will you handle it well?
Yeah.
During an interview, young Michael grins and slicks back his hair. Outside, Michael drives a convertible.
There's a newsstand in my old Studio City neighborhood. Every now and then, I'd stop by. No, I wasn't checking out Hustler or Jugs, but surveying the versions of myself on display. GQ, Us, People, Rolling Stone, Playgirl, Tiger Beat, TV Guide, Variety, McCall's, The Star, The Globe, 17, 16, Mad, Cracked, and on and on. Everywhere I looked, I saw my image reflected back at me. None of them was a true representation of my real self.
Michael stares at a magazine stand.
Whoever that was.
Michael exits the dressing room.
Here is as hot as you get in the history of this business. Here is Michael J. Fox.
Michael walks onto a stage.
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox is with us tonight.
Michael sits with multiple talk show hosts and waves at cheering audiences.
Doesn't that make you just feel fabulous?
That's great. It costs a lot to fly my whole family down here, but I'm glad.
First of all, congratulations. Back to the Future is still number one at the box office, but it's going to get some new competition this weekend from another Michael J. Fox movie. Is it going to give it a run for its money?
I don't know.
Clips from the movie Teen Wolf Play.
The popularity of Michael J. Fox is a phenomenon.
A box office top 10 ranking shows Teen Wolf in second place after Back to the Future.
No, you're just gonna have to tell Spielberg I'm not prepared to make that commitment.
What is the secret of your success?
This is my... I can't believe I was about to say acting is my life.
TV's Emmy Awards were handed out, and the winners are...
At the Emmy Awards, young Michael jumps up and down on stage.
I don't believe this! Right.
I feel 4 feet tall.
And I always see your name with adorable in front of it now. Is this, doesn't it get a little annoying after a while?
Yeah, my mom writes for these magazines.
Oh, is that right?
I think Michael Fox is cute. I think Michael Fox is really cute. I'd go out with him anytime.
Don't get me wrong. I had a really, really good time.
Who are you sleeping with?
Who are you sleeping with?
Grinning, Michael leans back in his chair and looks away.
I wasn't going to ask you, it's Shelly. I was going to go right back
but
to
you. But you did.
Because... I still don't get it. I mean, I still have no idea what people see, but...
Young Michael sits by a pool.
I have a favorite beer. I don't know if I can mention it, but it's a Canadian beer, and it has a certain antlered animal on the front. One morning, I peered out the window to see a beer delivery truck.
Men stack beer boxes on a hand truck.
There's a lot more where this came from, the delivery guy said.
A man hands him a business card.
I owned a Ferrari, a Range Rover, a Jeep Cherokee, a Mercedes 560 SL convertible.
Getting into one of his cars and checking the rearview mirror, Michael steps on the gas pedal and backs away from his backyard. He speeds down a highway.
The booze was free and I was usually the guest of honor.
Old footage shows Michael dancing at a party. Pictures show him with other celebrities. He steps on the pedal, accelerating down the highway.
Oh, that guy got pulled over my Ferrari one time on the way to work. And the cop leans in and he goes, Mike, is that you? And I said, yeah. And he said, this is a big, heavy car. You got to be careful. I was 190 down Ventura Boulevard in a Ferrari. And he said, love the show.
Michael shrugs.
I said, that's it?
At the gym.
So 5 steps forward. If your left foot catches, you stop and reset when you can. I'm not going to stop you, but you stop when you can.
My knee's locking out.
Good. Into this. Bounce into it. Feel those heels. Turn. Know that you're settled.
There's a period of time that I was king of the world.
Golf stance again. Don't lock out.
And I was playing a part. That was worth feeling sorry for.
Michael does stomach crunches.
How's Tracy?
Married to me. Still. With the life of a young celebrity that gets a lot of fame really fast. You don't know what's real. People taking pictures in my bushes of me in the swimming pool, walking down the street with a hat on, and glasses and down, and hiding. It's all bullshit. It's not the real stuff.
Big step right.
No.
Big step right. Good. Golf stance again.
He takes a step, adjusts his stance, and sits.
Good. This is the stuff that we need to work on. Slowing down your thought process, right? And this is the area that you need work.
Yeah. But...
So it's slowing down.
Yeah.
Right? So stand up, hit the golf stance in your heels. Are you there?
Yeah.
Do that quarter step around the stool.
Parkinson, this was just a disaster. But it's so real. When my arm would seize up or my hand would twitch, that's real. That's real.
Turn. Make sure you're settled.
The tall man helps Michael balance himself.
Good. Make sure you're settled.
You can't walk and you can't go to the bathroom. I mean, that's real.
Slowly forward.
Michael marches forward.
Beautiful. Awesome. I know you can do it.
Oh, I can do it.
Right?
That's the thing that kills me is just that they're not, the instant lack of control.
Right.
It's not like I'm losing control. It's
so
like,
that's what
boom.
We always talk about is that your speed, because of who you are.
I want to get it done.
Just slow it down. Slow it down. Because you're athletic enough to then have time to compensate for something that goes wrong.
And why dash when you flush?
Right. See, that was even better.
Talking to you as a movie star is different than talking to you as
a teen. I'm much more impressive now.
Well, you are. Has your life changed because of this?
Not really.
To John.
To?
John, J-O-A-N.
Whether it's signing an autograph or dashing off to your next interview, it's all part of selling Michael J. Fox and the movie.
Michael gets into a car and it drives off. Later, another car pulls into the driveway of a suburban house.
His family must have wondered how he'd turn out when he dropped out of high school.
When we get down to visit him, we try and spend our time with Michael, and we'll go with him to any such events that he wants us to, but no, we don't get tied up in the show business end of it already.
In the backyard, he's just Mike Fox, not the star Michael J. Fox people have come to know. He says trips home from Los Angeles help keep his feet on the ground.
They're not going to let me get away with being a jerk.
Very quiet, please.
On set, Michael stares off.
I guess you could say I've always wanted to excel. Even if it was a small... ready? Count me down again, will you, Andy? Gotta get...
5, 4, 3, 2...
I don't know, I guess you could say I've always wanted to excel, even as a small boy. I mean, it wasn't the winning that mattered to me.
He frowns.
It was the pure enjoyment of the competition. And I've always felt it deep in my heart.
He straightens and shakes his head.
Totally losing momentum. Can we just start from the top? Try and get a kick on this?
On the set of Family Ties, I was welcomed back like the prodigal son. I was the star, after all.
Well, Mike, are you going to do this now?
It just occurred to me. It doesn't work over there. Does this bother you?
No, we just got to redo shots.
How many?
38.
And while I would have never dreamed of lording it over anyone, the fact is I could get away with the most outrageous behavior.
And so I'm just trying to understand and say if you have specific things that are wrong, let me know, because at this point I'm confused.
I was the boy prince of Hollywood. I was big. I was bigger than bubblegum. You think it's made out of brick and rock, but it's not. It's made out of paper and feathers. It's an illusion.
Michael knocks on a door, grins confidently at a passing man, and looks around. A bespectacled young woman opens the door.
Yes.
Ah. Alex P. Keaton, sophomore hospitality committee.
Congratulations.
She tries to close the door.
Hey, excuse me. Do you mind if I wait around here for a while?
Yeah, I suppose.
That's when Tracy Pollan came into my world.
Looking around the room, Michael takes an apple out of a bowl.
Having trained in the New York theater, Tracy brought a grounded quality to the work.
Watching Tracy paint, he takes a bite out of the apple.
Put that down. Can't you see I'm painting that?
It was in stark contrast to my just-go-for-the-laugh approach.
What do you call it? Find the apple?
With an arrogant grin, he puts the apple back in the bowl.
I'd explain the concept of abstract art to you, but I have a feeling I'd be wasting my time.
You were not the typical casting choice. You were not perky. You were not a vacuous blonde. You weren't a wiseacre kind of person. You agree?
I agree. I was actually very surprised to be cast on the show. I don't know if I would have cast me on the show.
Why did they? What was
well,
it about
I think
you they were
that,
looking for?
That they wanted somebody who was very different from the character of Alex. And I think that they, I don't know, just saw something different in me.
At a restaurant with a white-haired man.
One day, we broke for lunch.
Women, life, death, art.
Holding a menu, Tracy eyes Michael from another table.
Places, please. Places for ease. 5.
After
four,
lunch, we picked up where we left three. Off.
Here we go. Ready and action.
I got you something.
You did?
They were having a sale on Picasso's. So, got you one.
He shows her a painting.
This was very sweet of you.
He eyes her.
The moment she said her first line, I detected a hint of garlic and sensed an opportunity to have a little fun at her expense. Whoa, a little scampi for lunch, babe? At first, she said nothing. Her expression didn't even change. But looking me dead in the eye, she said slowly, "That was mean and rude, and you're a complete and total fucking asshole."
Members of the crew stare and shift their eyes. In the scene, Tracy and Michael lock eyes.
Oh, hi, Ellen.
Hi.
Hey, are you ready to go?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay.
Tracy walks out.
Yeah.
As she closes the door, Michael stares after her.
Nobody talked to me that way.
In a classroom.
This woman was completely unintimidated by whomever I thought I was. A pig is a pig no matter how many hit movies he's just had.
Michael sits gazing at Tracy.
So was she right? Were you a dick?
In the present, he nods.
I was a bit of a dick.
In a dressing room, a woman adjusts young Michael's hair.
She was joking, but I didn't get it because no one would ever joke with me like that. I was not the butt of any jokes.
He shuts his eyes, then opens them.
And she just went, like, I poke through that and get you're a scared little kid under this shit, and then I'll just call you out.
The woman brushes Michael's hair as he stares in thought.
And that moment I fell in love with her.
Tracy clutches a bookshelf as it slips from a metal hanger, causing brushes to fall on the floor.
She just, Okay.
Leaning on an office chair, Michael slips and his face lands on her arm. She hangs onto the shelf as he adjusts his stance.
There we go. Gently.
They set the bookshelf back on the wall.
Piece of cake.
They share a look and grin.
Alex, I've never met anybody like you.
I mean, it's like you have a way of seeing right through me. I'm seeing a part of me that I don't even like to admit exists, and that scares me.
Sharing a slow dance, they embrace as Tracy rests her head on his shoulder.
Then Tracy got a part in a film I was about to shoot in Manhattan. We'd hang out on the set together.
But tell me about your job. I guess I'm supposed to be pretty impressed, huh?
Don't be.
She had a front row seat to view the whirlwind my life had become. Tracy appreciated the toll it was taking. The mistake would be to lose myself in the middle of the party that was now my life.
Silhouetted, they hold hands.
You have my number, right?
Right.
You should call me.
Yeah, I liked it.
They share a long look and slowly lean in closer to each other. As they share a passionate kiss, their silhouettes become one.
I love you.
I love you too.
Well, we love each other. I mean, we said it, we know it. I mean, that's all that's important. It doesn't matter what happens now. What happens now?
Old wedding pictures show Michael and Tracy cutting a cake and dancing together. In the present, Michael totters toward a bookshelf and grabs a framed picture of Tracy.
Look at this.
Hold it up.
He holds it up.
It's funny. It's signed to Norm or Fred or something. I got it at the Strand bookstore for a dollar. Once we got together, I was the most in love person. I still am.
You need to answer. There's like so many texts that you need to answer.
Yeah.
You need to respond to that.
Tracy and Michael sit on a couch.
And you need to wait.
It gets better.
This is four texts from Aquina that you haven't responded to.
I know. We tried to do it last night.
So just respond to that. Yeah. Haven't seen you in a few days. Love you.
And I can't wait to see you.
Can't wait to see you.
Can't wait to see you. The beach awaits you.
Okay.
She types on his phone.
The beach awaits you?
It was something to that effect. No. We're waiting for you on the beach. Well, I can't wait to get on the beach. Can't wait to hang on the beach with you. Can't wait to hang at the beach with you.
Describe this human being to me.
In the present, Michael closes his eyes and covers his mouth with his hand.
Clary.
Can't wait to see you. Love you.
Yeah, I love you. That's it.
I get a sense that she's no bullshit.
No bullshit. Who she is just so locked in because it's so honest. I could be the King of England and she would be her. I could be Elvis and she would be her.
You know what? You could put a little bit of this in there.
Okay, mush it now. I'll hold
it's
the bowl.
Really hard. It's kind of like hurting my hand.
I can't even hold the bowl. When I went with my family. There's no sentimental item with them. There's no poor baby. I feel your pain. I feel so bad for you. You're a saint among men, and that would be the worst thing they could do to me.
Can I just tell you, what? I was just having a conversation. If you look through his phone, it's just like a million texts that I've never answered.
Yeah, it just me like a bunch of times, like asking every 2 weeks. Like, no, I'm just like, are you okay? Like, sending so much love, heart, and then no response.
And
then, like, but then about a week after, like, one of my like, love you so much, hope you're okay. This is like really nice, but just so random. He just said, I hope you are happy with all your decisions.
In the kitchen, Michael laughs with his daughter Esme, his son Sam, and Tracy.
It's good natural.
You're a natural.
What are you doing?
You should really think about doing this for a job. You know, he just turned into a fortune cookie.
What answer? I go to like a simple, hey, I love you too, thinking about you. How's it
but
going?
But you don't say it.
I know because it comes out. And then I'm going in and I'm like, so then I think, well, this isn't working. I'll do the push the buttons. And then I get some website in China.
A picture of Tracy showing off her pregnant belly appears.
Pregnant 1 month after the wedding, Tracy found herself with a husband who, when he wasn't away on a job, was little more than a narcoleptic Lamaze partner.
In a scene, a camera films young Michael sleeping in a bed. Michael shifts in the bed. Lying in a crib, a baby gazes at a hanging mobile with dangling horse toys.
This kid loves these horses.
The baby, Sam, shifts.
And a vicious right.
Looking at the camera, Tracy lifts Sam from the crib, then rocks back and forth.
How's the family? Give me the whole report of how being a dad is.
Being a dad is great. I'm sure, you know, all the dads out there know it's real cool. My son is our son. Boy, I didn't do half the work.
How are you doing balancing the family and the work and all that? You're still pretty much a workaholic.
Accompanied by bodyguards, young Michael and Tracy walk between a crowd.
The rush that was my life then meant my bride. I was wondering what in the hell she'd gotten herself into.
Tracy, did you miss Michael the last year?
It's good to have him.
She's got a little tiny version of me
at
home.
Yeah, I get a miniature.
Inside of a year, an exquisitely talented 20-something actress had become a single mother. It's about being content with who you are and being content with your family and, you know, loving yourself and loving the people around you. Well, I was still free to work.
A picture shows police officers and bodyguards escorting Michael and Tracy.
Here I was, shooting my fifth film in less than 3 years. But it was a sheltered, narrow existence.
He's a chicken shit, man.
Fueled by fear and isolation. Actors don't become actors because they're brimming with self-confidence.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Eastwood.
An actor's burning ambition is to spend as much time as possible pretending to be somebody else.
I think you ain't nothing but a gutless yellow turd!
For those of us lucky or unstable enough to become professional performers,
who the hell do you think you are?
The uncertainty about who we really are only increases.
And who?
Gnawing at you always.
Who are you? I don't know about.
Is the belief that you're a fake, a phony.
I hate your movies.
Footage shows Tracy comforting baby Sam, who weeps.
What is a typical, if there is such a thing, day in the life of Michael and Tracy and Sam?
I get up and go to work. I come home, everybody's asleep. That's about it.
A picture shows Michael's dad holding baby Sam and gazing down at him.
Dad hadn't been feeling well for the last month or so.
Sitting at a table, present-day Michael covers his mouth with his hand as he fights off tears. His lips part and he blinks, resting his hand back on the table.
My father had been rushed to the hospital. Dad hadn't been feeling well for the last month or so. His heart gave out first, then his kidneys began to fail. I couldn't know that day in 1990 that I was stepping across a threshold. Sorry.
Teary-eyed, Michael raises his trembling hand and rests his thumb on his mouth.
Stuff like that just hits you like you're going through this stuff and something like that pops out and you just go, like that's three sentences and like 10,000 pounds of stuff.
A picture shows young Michael embracing and kissing his dad.
What was the threshold?
official was adulthood, like real shit.
Outside the Pink Mansion, the palm trees sway in the wind.
Life.
Sunlight seeps in from windows in a hallway. Michael shifts in his bed, raises his hand, and clutches his trembling pinky.
For Christ's sake, Mike, it's just your freaking finger. But that was the problem. It wasn't mine. It was somebody else's.
Michael stares at his trembling pinky. Cut to black. In a dimly lit room, an MRI machine sits in the center. A figure lies on the patient table as it slowly goes through the machine. An image shows brain scans.
The most paranoid fantasy I could think of would not have prepared me for the two words the neurologist bludgeoned me with that day. Parkinson's disease.
Gaping, present-day Michael shifts in his chair.
And I said, "You know who you're talking to, right? I'm like, not someone who is supposed to get this."
A pamphlet rests on a table.
He handed me a pamphlet. Which one had the incurable brain disease was not clear. They both looked happy.
The pamphlet shows a smiling couple.
He said some more words like progressive, degenerative, incurable. He said, you lose this game. You don't win this.
Exiting a movie theater, young Michael strolls onto a street with his arms folded. He stares ahead and waves to a cab nearby.
Yeah, I remember standing on the street looking for an answer.
The cab stops.
My world blew up.
Raindrops roll down a car window.
I should have seen it coming. The cosmic price I had to pay for all my success.
With blurred vision, Michael glances at the rearview mirror.
I told Tracy the news.
A picture shows Michael gazing at Tracy as she looks at the camera.
In sickness and in health, I remember her whispering.
In a doctor's office, present-day Michael sits in a chair with his arm trembling. The doctor grabs and moves Michael's head.
Now totally relax with the head. Okay, that's good. Yeah, now look at my finger. Open up. Look over here. Up, up, up. That's good.
They do finger movements.
I like this. Oh, you're good. Excellent. Actually, that's very strong. You're a strong man. So, you were getting dressed. You were in a hurry. You went smack into the headboard.
Headboard, yeah.
Okay. So, and when did you dislocate the shoulder? Around the same time.
It all happened it was like a festival of self-abuse. You could do a tour of my house.
Okay.
It's almost all in the same spot.
Okay, so squeeze my hand. How does that feel?
Feels all right. I think we're going to be fine.
You're going to be fine?
Yeah.
They're not going to have to, like, amputate anything?
No, no.
Okay, good.
My head.
Your head?
My head, yeah.
Okay.
Tracy's the smartest person I know. Right. She's learned to deal with a lot of stuff. How frustrating it must be to have to bear the burden of something that isn't her burden. It's my burden, but she shares it with me. She not only shares it with me, she takes on more than I take on.
So you take the first round while you're still in bed?
No, out of bed.
Out of bed, okay.
Sometimes Michael likes to hold that off if he's got something that he needs to do. He thinks if he waits, it's going to kick in stronger and better.
Everything I go through, she's gone through. And then I have to try to figure out and make it work. Like, I just have to feel it and live it. I can walk a little bit, though. Like that. She has to make it work. I'm walking, honey.
You are.
He kisses her.
Good job.
Is that this way?
Yeah.
Followed by the doctor, Michael exits the office and walks down a hallway.
Slow down a little, okay.
His hand trembles as he walks off. Young Michael runs down a crowded sidewalk and enters a building through a revolving door. He sits at a desk, turns on a lamp, and slicks his hair back.
I clung to fantasies of escape.
An essay about Parkinson's appears.
That somehow my diagnosis would turn out to be a mistake.
The essay reads, primarily a disease of older individuals.
I was in my late 20s. How could I possibly have this old person's disease? Symptoms include muscular rigidity, slowness and poverty of movements and tremor.
Clips show men shaking.
diminished blinking and reduced spontaneity of facial expression.
Young Michael enters a set.
I thought my diminished blinking and reduced spontaneity of facial expression marked a growing comfort in front of the camera. Less mugging, hamming it up. No, you weren't getting better. Just sicker.
What advice would you give to someone that has the disease?
The main thing is to be truthful, first with yourself.
Here's Johnny!
Wearing a suit, a white-haired man, Johnny Carson, parts colorful curtains and walks onto a stage as an audience cheers. Young Michael sits on a couch and watches Johnny on TV.
With no obvious cue, my left hand would begin shaking uncontrollably.
His left pinky trembles.
We got a great show tonight. Mr. Michael J. Fox is with us.
I had my internist prescribe PD meds.
Popping a pill bottle open, he spreads pills on a table and swallows one.
Sinemet is taken up by the brain and changed into dopamine, the neurotransmitter that a Parkinson's patient can no longer produce in sufficient quantities.
Anyway, I'm glad Michael Fox is here tonight. He's a most talented young man.
Backstage, a producer parts the curtains for Michael.
Would you welcome Michael J. Fox?
With the spotlight on him, he enters and waves at the audience.
Therapeutic value, even comfort, none of these was the reason I took these pills. There was only one reason.
He sits with Johnny.
Yeah.
To hide.
Young Michael strolls through a basement and enters a hotel hallway.
I carry the pills around, loose and broken, in the pockets of my shirts and trousers.
Wearing a suit, he turns a corner.
Like Halloween Smarties.
A pill bottle opens, a mouth swallows a pill, and neurons fire.
Parkinsonian tremor occurs when the affected limb is at rest. I was able to mask the trembling by poodling an object in my left hand. Day after day, for hours on end.
Various scenes show Michael holding objects in his left hand.
Sir, I can't hear you. There's some kind of a ruckus outside. Can I call you back?
I never gave a second's thought to sharing my diagnosis with anyone. I had work to do. And I intended to pretend as if none of this was actually happening to me.
You can't do this to people. I mean, you can't lie and fake and manipulate. I won't accept that.
Michael swallows another pill.
Just this once, I'm gonna let you off with a warning.
Scenes show Michael walking while holding objects in his left hand.
I like guys that are a little too smart for their own good. You know, master manipulators who think they're manipulating everybody else, but are in a way kind of manipulating themselves into a situation they can't control.
I became a virtuoso at manipulating drug intake.
He knocks down pins with a bowling ball
so that I peak at exactly the right time and place.
He pretends to fire a gun, and the last pin falls down. In the present.
I need more pills.
He stares off with his mouth slightly open.
You
want to
take a break?
I should have stopped 10 minutes ago because I need more pills.
A woman hands him pills, and he puts them in his mouth.
Just take 2 minutes.
His hand trembling, he grabs a bottled drink and takes a sip.
You take the pill, and then you're waiting, and what does it feel like?
He stares off.
Like, wait, I always say waiting for a bus. Waiting for the bus. Like, people say, what are you doing? I say, I'm waiting for the bus, and they know what I mean.
He looks down with a blank expression and shifts his eyes.
Yeah, it's kicking in now. It's nice. So it's a quick kick in today. I'm still a little mumble mouth, but I feel good. I feel still.
So you're still waiting for the bus, or are you on the
bus? No, I'm on the bus. I'm putting the money in the thing.
With a soft smile, Michael settles in his seat.
It's a great release. It's just like you pour into the form that is you. It gets filled with you again.
On a set, a woman holds a clapperboard by Michael's face.
My body ached.
Playback.
I'd been contorting it into intensely uncomfortable positions in order to mask the tremors.
Various framed pictures of Michael with Tracy and the kids hang on a wall. A silhouetted man opens the door, casting light on the framed pictures. He pauses and then shuts the door behind him as he enters. Tracy sits in the dining room.
My appetite was non-existent, and I used that excuse to avoid joining my family for dinner.
Michael stares anxiously.
I thought that by thinking about Parkinson's, I was hastening its arrival.
Closing his eyes, Michael shifts his gaze. In a crowded pub, young Michael stands at the bar as the bartender hands him a beer bottle.
Instead, I drank to disassociate.
Michael drinks.
To escape my situation.
He stares thoughtfully, shifting his gaze.
Parkinson's, it was hide the bottle time. It was like I had bottles stashed in the garage, and I'd open two bottles of wine, and Trace would think we just drank one, and she didn't know I drank the other one.
Michael uncorks a wine bottle and ices it.
And I sort of have a margarita before the last take.
Jack Daniels, rocks, please.
For Love or Money with Michael J. Fox starts out great and then gets all soft. Regretfully, though, thumbs down.
With me, it isn't even a close call. It's definitely thumbs down.
Michael drinks a beer.
And he just thinks it's a slip.
He opens a fridge and gets a bottle of liquor, then wakes up on a moving train.
Life with Mikey doesn't tell much of a story. I sat there wondering why Michael J. Fox seemed to be without a clue in a lot of his big scenes. And here's another movie that loses its way. Greedy.
Michael J. Fox fell for that old trap. They want to play characters who are really likable. Why not play nasty?
Make them hateful. People love you when you play hateful characters.
It's crap, Angie. It's crap. It's another big budget, big box office, and in one end, out the other, easy to flush piece of crap.
I was sullen and angry. There was one thing in the store, and this guy stepped in front of me. And I said, excuse me, what, am I fucking invisible? And he goes, yeah, you're invisible. And I grabbed his shirt and I said, fuck you, man. I'll take you outside and take your head off. And I said, I'd love nothing more today than to take your head off. And he just backed off, and they all went white, and they walked down. I said, I could be that guy.
Head bowed, Michael sits in a subway car.
I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what was coming. So what if I could just have four glasses of wine and maybe a shot?
So were you an alcoholic?
Yeah, I was definitely an alcoholic.
A picture shows Michael standing by a lake near a forest.
But I've gone 30 years without having a drink.
What is the core of that behavior?
The core of that behavior is fear.
A hand slices a lemon, and alcohol is poured into a blender.
There was an urgency, an edge to that night's partying. We were on our third pitcher of margaritas by the time the director called rap.
Alcohol is poured from the blender into cups. Michael jolts awake. A bright light blurs his vision as he looks at toys and a beer bottle on the floor.
Oh, God. I saw feet. Tracy's feet. The feet had on shoes. Shit, what time was it?
Tracy stands across from Michael.
I found no expression of rage. She was meeting my sorry state with indifference.
A picture shows Tracy staring off.
Is this what you want? She said. This is what you want to be.
Michael and Tracy stand together on the red carpet. They smile at reporters as they take pictures.
I'd never been so frightened in my life.
Cameras flash, and Michael and Tracy smile. Light shines from under a door. A hand with a wedding ring grasps the edge of a bathtub.
The bathtub became my refuge. Day after day, for hours at a time.
I just wanted to keep my head below water. I need to suffer. I need to go as low as I can go.
Michael's hand slowly slides down the bathtub. His palm lies still under the blurry water.
All I could hear was the muted splash of my trembling hand.
His palm slowly shifts underwater.
But as low as alcohol had brought me, abstinence would bring me lower.
Michael runs down a dimly lit hallway towards a light.
I can no longer escape myself.
He disappears into the light.
My first 2 years of sobriety were like a knife fight in a closet.
What's the knife?
Truth. Truth. That wasn't facing things.
On set, a camera films young Michael running away as soldiers exchange fire.
I just wanted to be out of the world. But I wanted to be in another place, doing another thing.
Various scenes show young Michael running through a forest in an abandoned building.
I ran away and did movies in other parts of the world. Can't pretend at home that you don't have Parkinson's.
His palm trembles underwater.
Because you're just there with it. If I'm out in the world and I'm dealing with other people.
Michael sits in a car.
And they don't know I have it. Then I don't have it. But Tracy was really having a hard time and really was getting to the end of her rope.
Old video footage shows a blonde child sitting on the floor and fiddling with a toy.
Because now we had twins.
Another blonde child crawls towards her and grabs the toy.
Quinn and Skylar.
The children stare playfully and smile.
And I got back to my family. Sam was happy I was home but mad at me.
Old video footage shows young Michael in a broad green field helping Sam get on a bicycle.
So what do I do?
Michael slightly nudges Sam, who pedals forward.
Got it, though. Got it. You own it. Go.
I made up my mind.
A fax machine prints out a script. Footage shows young Michael wearing a suit and a headset, roller skating through a hallway. The script's title reads, Spin City, Pilot.
I was going home to television. And I thought, yeah, there's nothing like to walk out into a set and drop a line and have them go fucking crazy.
I just figured since the Daily News says we were seen eating dinner, we might as well do it.
You know, the Post says we're sleeping together.
You got the latest approval ratings?
Right here, Mike.
The reviews were terrific, and ratings had suggested long-term success.
An old video shows Michael playing with and carrying one of the twins.
With schedules that mesh perfectly with the rhythms of my family.
In the video, Michael sits on the floor, encouraging his toddler as she stumbles to him.
And the situation was near perfect.
It's called spin. Power persuasion, making people believe what I want them to believe. It's what I do. It is my gift.
You were amazing.
Yeah, no problem. It's fun pretending.
In a scene, young Michael shuts a door. Later, he pops a pill.
All right, Mayor prepared to speak about the strike, James?
I worked on it all night, Mike.
All right, so we're going on earlier than we thought.
Backstage, framed posters hang on a wall in a dimly lit hallway.
The stress of doing a weekly show in front of a studio audience was exacerbating my symptoms. The whole of my left arm would be tremoring, forceful enough to shake my entire body.
It was just twisting. And I'd lie on the floor of twisting and waiting to have an audience outside waiting for me to go do a scene.
On set, an audience gathers.
I can not only hear their feet shuffling, I can feel them.
Men and women fill seats near a stage.
Please, join us.
All the while, I was doing the math. How long since the last pill? How long until it wears off? If the warning came when I was in the middle of a 4 to 5 minute scene, there wasn't anything I could do to stave off the return of my symptoms.
Michael stares off.
Fred, Joe, pleasure to see you guys, as always. You know, I was just thinking.
Young Michael swallows pills from a pill bottle.
And still, no one outside of my family knew.
He hides his trembling hand.
I'm living a lie. I can't go on with this. This has got to stop.
Wearing underwear, Michael flips on a bed.
You start to feel people looking at you, staring, judging, gazing into the very recesses of your soul.
On set, a clapperboard reads, Spin City. A woman opens a door.
We're ready, Michael.
Backstage, Michael's nameplate rests on a door as a framed poster of him with the title Spin City hangs on a wall under dim lights. The frame shakes. Now, present-day Michael sits with his mouth wide open. His body trembles as he stares down.
To me, the worst thing is restraint. The worst thing is to be confined and not be able to have a way out. And there were times when I went, there's no way out of this.
The framed poster quivers on the wall.
I'd spruce up the walls with fist-sized holes.
A light glimmers at the end of a dark hallway. Michael runs toward the light. He slows down as he nears the end of the hallway. Staring ahead, he gradually stops.
You're only as sick as your secrets.
Now, at the gym with the tall man.
If you feel comfortable, you can let go of the bar. If you don't, try and keep the pressure off that right hand. Good. I'm here. Good. Move your right foot to the right a little bit. Even more. There you go.
So what happened?
Good. Let's see if you can stay here for a second.
I fucking hurt myself again.
A picture shows Michael in a wheelchair with a wound on his hand.
I tripped over a carpet and I broke my hand and I had pins put in my hand. But the area around the pins got infected. And then there was the option of just taking my finger off.
Michael lies in a hospital bed.
And then I broke my arm. And the people around me were going, you gotta be careful, you gotta be careful. I said, this has nothing to do with being careful. This is just like, this happens. You have Parkinson's, you trip over shit, and you fall down.
Try and lift your chest just a little bit more. There you go.
Hand trembling, Michael limps toward the corner of the gym.
Nice job.
You don't put Mikey in a corner.
When I find you talking about the shitty stuff, I see you sort of get close to it and then dart away.
Michael marches slowly, resting his hand on a massage table.
Careful with this right hand.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Good, have a seat.
Okay.
You sure?
Yeah.
Michael lies on the table.
This is right hand, he's my...
Right. See, the core's still there, those are obliques.
Yeah.
Right? How you feeling?
Okay.
I've interviewed you for hours and hours and hours. You've never told me once I'm in pain.
Trembling, he darts his eyes away.
I'm in pain. It's intense pain.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and relax.
It really hurts.
The shoulder? Here.
Every tremor is like a seismic jolt.
Do you want to sit upright?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you want to sit in the chair?
Anything but what I'm doing right now.
Why wouldn't you tell me, I mean, this is about us talking.
Well, it didn't come up.
The truth. Why wouldn't you tell me about your pain?
It didn't come up. I'm not going to lead with it.
Bending a knee, the tall man watches Michael sit in a chair.
Good. Don't plop. No jolts. Good.
Okay. I just want to feel better.
Yeah.
And it seems to me I can see clearly, more clearly the things I need to do to feel better. But it's this Michael J. Fox stuff. People express to me that I make them feel better, I make them do things they might not otherwise do. And that's the most powerful thing you can ever feel, and it's a huge responsibility. And I don't want to fuck it up.
Right.
The tall man nods at Michael.
It's okay not to be Michael J. Fox sometimes.
Michael's gaze shifts as his hands tremble over his legs. Michael shuts his eyes as his body continues to shake.
Michael J. Fox kept something very private. Something about his health. Now he's gone public with the fact that he has Parkinson's disease.
Michael J. Fox, one of America's best-loved actors, has decided to publicly announce that he's been battling
the
Parkinson's
entertainment world
disease.
When he announced he has been battling Parkinson's disease
and has had it for 7 years.
Michael, all this week we have been hearing that you have this devastating disease, that it is life-threatening, that you are in the fight for your life. Do you feel relieved now?
Oh my God, what have I done?
What is his prognosis?
Within 10 years, he will have serious disabilities.
Balance problems with frequent falls.
I think he's got a tough road ahead of him.
Are you at all concerned that now audiences will look at you differently?
Holding a script in his hands, young Michael enters a set.
This will be my first time in front of a studio audience since I disclosed my diagnosis.
He glances at the script.
My fear was that they would reject me. And they would not understand it. That because I was sick, I couldn't be funny. And I had to hope that they could accept me.
We got speed.
Cameras. And action.
Michael enters a room with a chimp sitting at a table.
We meet again, Mr. Bond.
Michael eyes the chimp, which moves a chess piece on a chessboard. Slowly sitting down, Michael clasps his hands together and moves a chess piece.
There. Deal with that, Bobo Fischer.
Michael settles in his chair as the chimp moves a piece and sets the time. Eyeing the chimp, Michael grabs a piece. The chimp shakes his head. Squinting, Michael puts the piece back.
I knew that. That's a bold move. I had this huge reaction. You have chosen poorly. Checkmate. Like that's love that can't help itself.
On a beach, Michael and Sam sit in wooden chairs wearing sunglasses. With his hand trembling, Michael adjusts his sunglasses.
Do you feel like you're like a 90-year-old like dad? Because I don't feel like 90 years old, but you sometimes get mad at me. Like, you guys all say, be careful, be careful, be careful. I said, I'm being careful. What am I set up to not be careful?
Nobody thinks your agenda isn't to be careful. It's that that maybe isn't... It's lower on the list of things than it is for us. So... So I just have to make sure, you know. And I'd rather, it's great if you understand what I'm saying, but I'd rather you don't fall over.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Gaping, Michael grins.
I can look at myself and I say, I have Parkinson's. So how do I want to live with that?
Michael glances at his son.
But if I never get past the I have Parkinson's part, if I never get past the part where I wake up in the morning and I go, yeah, that's real, that's happening, then I can't get past it.
You know, this is the first time that I've had a chance to talk with you, the first time you've been on the show, since you had your press conference and announced that you have Parkinson's disease. And I think folks, how's it been going since? What was the reaction?
Pretty well, pretty much the same. It didn't change. I still have it.
Yeah.
So. An elevator door opens, and Michael strolls out in a hurry.
After all those years of hiding my symptoms, I could let it go. I suffer from a condition, and it makes me... do this, and this, and if you just look at me long enough, you get used to it. I realized I didn't have to do anything other than be myself. Sometimes when I take a little bit too much medication, I get that kind of swing thing, I do the kind of Axl Rose thing.
Michael swings in place.
When you see that, you know, just kind of hum Paradise City in your mind. I was still me, people recognized. Just me plus Parkinson's.
Jesus Christ! What the hell?
What?
Did you shake that up on purpose?
Parkinson's. Some people would view the news of my disease as an ending. But I was starting to sense that it was really a beginning.
Actor Michael J. Fox testified before Congress asking for an increase in research funding for Parkinson's disease.
I'm here to tell you that administering a successful research program is not rocket science. It's mostly common sense and the will to get things done. Thank you. I never actually said this to anybody, but I always fantasize saying it. Yeah, you're bigger than me. You'll beat me up. But I'll hit you once, and you'll hurt.
A broad man rises as Michael eyes him.
And I knew that moment.
Michael punches him.
Muhammad Ali and Michael J. Fox, joining a chorus of voices saying money is desperately needed.
I wanted to be in the world and not take this and retreat from the world and realize what I still have to give. I find it extremely moving, no pun intended, to be here today.
The Fox Foundation has revolutionized scientific philanthropy, mobilized the Parkinson's community, and raised nearly $2 billion.
Old footage shows Michael with a toddler playing with a balloon.
I was 10 years out from my Parkinson's diagnosis when Esme was born.
The toddler, Esme, approaches the camera, sticking out her tongue.
Go see Daddy. Go give Daddy a kiss.
What's Daddy doing?
The kids are the best because kids will just say, will you stop moving around?
Sure.
I say, I'll give it a shot, honey.
Old footage shows the twins blowing out birthday candles.
No. In love.
What do you
know?
No.
They're blind. They're dancing.
Okay, good.
Good.
Would you guys like to switch teams because we've been winning, or do you want to keep the same teams?
I like the teams we're on, but
I'm tragic.
It's not her fault. It's my fault.
But I was thinking. Do you see it?
Oh, yeah.
You got it?
Tracy draws an arrow pointing at her.
You.
You got it already?
Yeah. And I just had me.
It was me?
It was me, not you. He thinks it was Michael J. Fox.
The thing about motion with me is I've always been moving. Maybe that's because I'm small. I've always been moving, and I'm always counting on movement to not only propel me from place to place, but to express myself as I propel from place to place and to be who I am.
Several scenes show young Michael running, jumping, and sliding around. On the beach, he trembles in his chair.
The thing that I learned was that I couldn't be still in my life. I couldn't be present in my life.
Scenes show young Michael running around. On the beach, Sam grabs Michael's hand, holding it still.
Until I found this thing happened to me that made me present in every moment of my life. Because it was shaking me awake.
Sam holds Michael's shaking wrist.
There you go.
They share a look. Short reeds sway in the wind as waves settle on the shore. Michael and his family stroll down the beach, holding hands. A seagull soars through the clear, bright sky. Michael stares blankly as he sits still in place. Cut to black. Credits appear. Directed by Davis Guggenheim. Based on books written by Michael J. Fox. Credits continue. Now we find ourselves in late December. I believe that New Year's Eve will be the perfect time for their great surrender. But they don't remember. Anger wants a voice, voices won't sing. Sinners harmonize till they can't hear anything. Thought that I was free from all that questioning. But every time a problem ends, another one begins. And the stone walls of harmony all bear witness. Anybody with a word in mind can never forgive the sight of wicked snakes inside a place you thought was dignified. I don't want to live like this, but I don't want to die. Like a young pretender's. Beneath these velvet gloves I hide shameful crooked ends of a moneylender. Cause I still remember. Anger wants a voice, voices wanna sing. Sinners harmonize till they can't hear anything. Thought that I was free from all that questioning. But every time a problem ends, another one begins. And the stone walls of harmony all bear witness. Anybody with a word in mind can never forgive the sight of wicked snakes inside a place you thought was dignified. I don't want to live like this, but I don't want to die. Oh,
And the stone walls of harmony all bear witness. Anybody with a world in mind can never forgive the sight of wicked snakes inside a place you thought was dignified. I don't wanna live like this, but I don't wanna die.
Concordia Studio LLC is the author of this cinematographic or audiovisual work for the purposes of Article 15(2) of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. A title appears, Still. Copyright Concordia Studio LLC 2022, all rights reserved. This film has been described by Pixelogic Media. Voice by Chelsea Kay. Concordia.